Aren't you glad that we can bless the Lord? Aren't you thankful that just as Brother Corey was leading us in that worship, that he is with us no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's happening around us. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings is there. He'll never forsake us. Glory. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. Let's read the first 8 verses of this chapter. So glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Glad to see each and every one of you. It's a blessing when we can come together. Revelation chapter 21. Let's start reading in verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Aren't you glad that God's the God of second chances? God's the God of the do-over, if you would. The first Adam is going to go by the wayside, but you and I, we're going to be a part of the last Adam.
Man.
That's what we have confidence in. And there's no more sea. There's no more judgment. Think about the waters and what happened at the Catabole at between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And then think about Genesis 6 with Noah. No more sea, no more judgment.
Right.
Come on, Jesus, he took it for us. And I, John, saw the holy city in New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, look at this promise. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these things, write for these words, these things, these sayings are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. What a promise. But concentrate on verses 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my child. Verse 8, but the fearful, notice these 8 traits, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, which is the second death. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Well, thank you for this day. You've given us four things.
Yes.
We stand in your precious spirit, Lord. We open up our minds and hearts, Lord, so you can write this word on the table of our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Forever changing our direction in life, forever changing our understanding of life.
Yes, Lord.
We give you all the glory and praise for that.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for wanting to be a part of God's will and his plan. Amen. Come on, with the family of God. All right, so this morning I want us to just kind of get an opportunity to refocus about some things, because every one of you is going through difficult trials and situations and circumstances. And sometimes it's good just to say, well, I know where I'm at, I know what's happening all around me, but I'm going to get my eyes off of that, and I'm going to look to the Lord, and I'm going to look to his promises, I'm going to look to what he has for me. So I wanted you just to get a glimpse of what God has for us. So aren't you glad that there is a new heaven and a new earth coming? Come on, a new dispensation. You and I right now, we're in the dispensation of grace. And, you know, according to people's opinion, because everybody's got an opinion, you know, you can look at the dispensations all through the Word of God. And we're in this, we know without a doubt that we're in the dispensation of grace. But in a moment of time, in a twinkling of eye, that's going to change.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come to this place of judgment. But we've got the dispensation of the eternal that we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
That's what we got our minds on and our hope towards. But this morning, what I want you to do is lay down the trial, lay down the trouble, lay down everything that's going around you, and just be in the place where the Spirit of God can build you up and show you that you are an overcomer. And it's not because of anything of yourself other than by faith. Come on, you're an overcomer this morning by faith. And you've got faith this morning. So, yes, there's troubles, there's struggles, there's all sorts of things, but you are that overcomer. And so what the Spirit of God spoke into my heart was overcomers by not being oblivious to the obvious. Overcomers by not being oblivious to the obvious. And so we're going to pull what's on my heart this morning from verses 7 and 8. And look what he said there. Let's reread verse 7. He or she, the child of God that overcomes, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So we're talking about being sons and daughters of the Most High God, being children of God, being named in the family of God, but you have to overcome. I have to overcome. So God knows that. So that's why Jesus Christ was conceived in the Virgin Mary, bringing the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 to pass, and was born. He was born and he walked in this same, he was God, but yet he was flesh, walked in this same flesh, and he was all points tempted, yet without sin, that he could pay the price for you and I, that he could overcome for us on the cross, that you and I could be a part of that. Amen. And so here we are this morning. We're in a place where we're still going through trials. We're still dealing with this same old flesh. Pinch yourself. It's what you've dealt with your whole life. I'll deal with my whole life. But we've got an avenue now for victory, how to overcome that. So he said, he that overcometh. So what we've got to do, we've got to change our focus, our mindset. This morning, know that you're in a battle.
Yeah.
Come on, you're in a battle. And to be an overcomer, you've got to encounter the enemy. You've got to recognize, I've got to realize that the victory has already been won. But the devil wants to wear you out in your mind. He wants to wear me out in my mind. He wants to bring discouragement to us by making us think that we're all alone, that nobody has went through what we've went through, or that God has forgot about us. God's mindful of you. Come on, out of the mouth of the Lord, our hair of our head is numbered by the Lord. He knows every word that's in your tongue, the psalmist tells us, before you even speak it. Isn't that glorious? So if he knows the word that's in your tongue, then he knows every thought that's in your heart. So you can rest in that reality, that truth, and you can say, okay, my God knows all about me. And you know, I've got things that y'all don't know about, and you've got things that, come on, the secret things. But yet God knows all those things, and he still calls us overcomers.
Yeah.
See, the devil wants to browbeat us and say, because you're not perfect. Well, see, man's ideal of perfection and God's ideal of perfection are two different things.
Amen.
God's ideal of perfection is talking about being complete. See, you and I were complete at this moment of time by the Holy Spirit working in your life, working in my life, showing us this word. We're complete. And then as we walk out the word, we'll be more complete tomorrow. The Lord, Terry, your heart keeps beating. My heart keeps it more complete tomorrow and tomorrow and all of those things. And so I got to see this. So this word, overcomer, nikano, it means in the Greek that you have got to see that you're going to prevail. You've got to see that you're going to get the victory, and you get the victory by your faith in this Bible.
Amen.
That's your hope. That's your confidence. You don't get the victory by listening to what comes across CNN or is on the internet or none of those things. They may be well and good at times, but most of the time they're not, because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So you and I got to be in the place where we hold on to this Bible. We pull it closer to us. Amen. This is our source. This is your source of strength, my source of strength. So he said, he that overcometh shall. So I've got to know that to be able to get the promises that's in this Bible, to develop this relationship with God, to start growing, I'm going to have an encounter. And I've got to realize that I've got to get what Jesus has done, won for me.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some things out of this seventh verse and eighth verse and get some things in our heart, I believe, that will bless us. So let's go, if you would, go with me to the book of Luke, and let's see how this is all takes place. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, I want to read one verse, then we're going to back up and cover some things. But look what Jesus says, red letter, in Luke chapter 11, verse 22. It says, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, this is talking about God's house and the devil's house. It's talking about Jesus and it's talking about Satan. And up to this point of time, till Jesus was born of a virgin and walked this flesh, the devil had the victory. There was no hope. Mankind had no hope. They had to depend upon the sacrifice of the animals. They had to depend upon themselves, and thank God for all of that. That's the type and the shadow of the better promises to come. But he said, when the stronger than he shall come upon him and shall overcome him, there's that word, nakano, shall prevail, shall get the victory over him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted in, and he divided his spoils. Now, I want you to think about that. That's exactly where you and I were. We were the spoil of the devil. We had no hope. We couldn't break loose because, see, we were sold under the wages of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is, woo! So I was the spoil of the devil. In other words, just like there's captives today. I mean, we still need, don't forget about those 120 plus people that we still need to be praying for. In the Gaza Strip, we don't know where they're at. We don't know what's going on. They need prayer. They need deliverance. They need us to hold them up. But you and I, that's where we were in the spiritual realm. Physically, we might be able to go and do what we wanted to do to a certain point. But spiritually, we were bound. We had no hope. We were under the enemy. And so let's back up and let's see how what Jesus is trying to say here, how you know that you're an overcomer this morning. How that you know that you can prevail and walk in this victory. Let's go back to the ninth verse in this 11th chapter, Luke 11 and 9. And it says, red letter, and I say unto you, ask, and just take and underline that in your Bible, the A in that letter, in that word, and it shall be given you, seek, underline the S there in seek, ask, then seek, and you shall find, knock, underline the N, and it shall be opened unto you. So you see, we got this deeper teaching here. You asked, you seek, you knock, and that spells ask again. You can see it. A-S-K, ask. So Jesus is saying, all you've got to do is ask. And when you ask some things are going to happen in your life. Let's look at what happens. Verse 10, here's your promise. For everyone, so he's talking about me. Come on, you're an everyone. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What's going to be opened? Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then being evil, come on, they're talking to those who haven't been born again yet, know how to give good gifts unto your children, mark this down, how much more, what a greater degree, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Glory. All right, so how did Jesus, being born, he was fully flesh, but yet he was fully God. How did he overcome? He overcome because as we look at his life, he lived his life. We've got a record of him up to his 12 years old. And then from the time of 12 to 30, those 18 years, they're not in the Bible. You have to follow them for tradition. And you have to see where he went with Joseph of Arimathea. And he went and was grown up and raised up and was trained even in the things of the natural to get him ready for the spiritual. And then when he turned 30 years of age, all of a sudden he went and he was what? He was baptized in water. He was baptized in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit come upon him, and then he walked in this prevailing victory, showing you and I how to walk today.
Yeah.
So we're an overcomer because we look at Jesus, the Word. We look at that example, that prototype, that pattern, and we start walking it out. And so this morning, you and I, we can ask the Father, we can say, I want the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only lifts up the Word. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me this Bible. I want him to teach me. I want him to shed abroad in my heart the love of God. I want him to show me who I really and truly am from the very mind of the Father, the Creator. So I've got to be in that place. So Jesus said that there's a way that you can see the spoils come from the hand of the enemy. And that way is knowing who you are by the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Let's keep reading. Notice what happens. Jesus always proves, the Word always proves that God is on top. Verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, that the dumb spake, and notice this, and the people wondered. So think about it. Up to this time period, the devil had the stronghold. He was the strong man. He had the ability to shut people's mouth. He had the people to stop what God wanted to do in us and through us. But the moment that you and I learn that we can talk when God wants us to talk, we can say what God wants us to say. The moment that we get to that reality, we're in that place where this deliverance process is taking place. We're in this place where we're overcoming. We're prevailing. We're subduing the enemy. We're getting the victory. Now notice what happens. Verse 16, and others tempted him, saw of him a sign from heaven. He just gave them one. Verse 17, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Verse 18, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, through the dung god. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But notice, here's when we come here, verse 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you.
Amen.
Come on. That means that when you are in the kingdom of God, you're in the place where you have what? You have the victory. You're an overcomer. You're in that place where you can prevail. And notice, you've got to take all of this in context. It comes in context that you've got to speak it. Because remember, this man had the dumb spirit. He couldn't say what he needed to say. But Jesus delivered him from that dumb spirit, and then he gave him what? He gave him the prototype of how to walk in that victory, to walk in that deliverance. Because when the kingdom of God comes into you, the devil has to bow.
Yes.
Satan is defeated. And so all of a sudden, you've got to start talking victory. You've got to start talking what has been laid out in the Word of God from the foundation of the world for you, for me.
Right.
So let's keep going. Verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But here's what we read just a moment ago. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and shall overcome him, shall get that victory, shall prevail, he taketh from him all of his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. So you got to see yourself. The Apostle Paul went to great detail of teaching us that you and I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
Under the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so now we're no longer in that kingdom that we once were, just a part of the booty, the spoil of the devil. But now we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so we ask, we seek, we knock on these truths in our everyday life. And when he starts bringing the Spirit of God into us, who starts showing us the Word of God, where you have the victory over these things that you've been struggling with, I've been struggling with. And we start saying, okay, I am that overcomer. I have that victory. It's mine. It's been bought and paid for. Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33. We talk about it all the time. But Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Right.
In this world, in your life right now, today, you shall have tribulation.
Right.
You're going to have problems. You're going to have struggles. But he said, I have what? The Word. The Word. That's who, in the beginning it was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is that Word. That's how you overcome. So since Jesus has overcome, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have situations to be hurt. The devil's going to use people against you to try to discourage you. And he's going to bring all sorts of spirits. He has a lot in his arsenal to try to keep you bound and free. But you ask, you seek, you knock. You say, no, wait a minute. No, I've got the Holy Spirit from God the Father to show me the Word. And so I can walk in this prevailing victory. I can start subduing things that used to hold me back and hinder me. And I can walk in that level of freedom, that opportunity. 1 John 4:4. Let's go over to the epistle of 1 John. You know the scripture very well. Verse 1 in 1 John chapter 4 tells us to try the spirits to see if there be of a God or not. And then that verse that we love, after we try the spirits, look what it says in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God. Come on, we're God's creation. God's proud of you.
Yeah.
You realize that the Bible says in Revelation 4:11 that God created you for His pleasure?
Yeah.
Wow. God the Father, the Creator, He looked down and He said, I want somebody just like you.
Yeah.
Brother Donnie, he's not satisfied until he has you in His kingdom.
Right.
Wow. Ye are of God, prodigy. We're His, born of His seed. Little children, notice this, and have overcome. There's your word, dikeno. Subdue, prevail, to get the victory. Who have you overcome? Verse 1. The world and all the spirits that's in it. The devil trembles when he sees a child of God that knows who they are because of what this Bible says. See, the world wants us to be afraid of the devil. Wants us to bow down and back up and all of those things. And we can't do that. Because if we give him an inch, he'll take. Now, I know this, you know, we've got to realize there's all different levels of faith. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm going higher and higher. I'm growing, you're growing. So what we need to do is help one another. Let's don't get mad if somebody else is a different place of faith. Let's just follow in that pathway. Or if somebody doesn't believe where you're believing, let's grab them by the hand and help them along. Amen. But we can't let the devil bully us. You're not his spoil anymore. God has stamped you and sealed you with His own Holy Spirit. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is where than he that is in the. The devil is of this world. He is the prince of the power of this, the heir of this earth age. But you've overcome him. So you got to start saying that. And see, the devil wants you to start, he wants you to bow down to your situation and go, man, this situation is so bad. This struggle is too great. This debt is too big. The need, the chasm there, the gap there, it's too far. My God can't reach that. See, we can't yield to that. We can't do not what? Don't give place. Neither give place to the devil. So we got to be in that place and position. Okay, let's turn over to the 5th chapter. Look at verse number 1. 1 John 5:1. Here's a whosoever, say he's talking about me. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him and beget loveth him also is begotten of him or by him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. He gave us the ability to walk in this love command. Verse 3, for the love of God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now here's when we came here. Look at verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever, and I know it should be translated whosoever, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. There's your Nicano. That's overcome. You've overcome. You have this prevailing spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you that shows you the way to victory, that gives you another step. Another step further away from the stronghold of the enemy, the things that would hold you back, and gives you the next step to the place of success. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by, and hearing by the word. So you've got to have this Bible. See, the devil's talking to you all the time. He's telling you how bad you feel. He's telling you how rough the times are. He's telling you that we've never lived in a time as we lived in right now. Now, I know that things are bad, and I know evil is out there, but it's not as bad as it was when Noah was on the earth.
Right.
If it was, then we've got a God who's went to sleep. It's not as bad as it was when in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, because if it was, see, God's going to judge this place.
Yes.
When he's waiting to, remember, God, he told him, said, now you leave the Amalekites are alone. You leave them alone, because when the judgment comes, when it's full, when it's full, he said, then we're going to what? They're going to be judged.
Right.
And so what am I saying? I'm saying it's the same way here in this earth age. When the judgment, when everything is right, that's when God's going to come. So yes, it's bad, but God had people that he took care of then. If he could take care of Noah and his family, if he could take care of all of those situations, he can take care of you and I. He's not going to let you fall. He's got you by the hand, amen? But most importantly, he's got you by the heart. He's got you by the heart. Verse 5. Who is he or she that overcometh the world, but he or she that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So all I got to do is believe this Bible. If I believe this Bible, in other words, I'm putting my faith in it, and I'm knowing that the price has been paid for me, then I can overcome. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm just going to walk on top of everything. It means I'm going to push through some things. You're going to push through some things. But the more that we push through them, the more that we learn how to trust God.
Amen.
It's not because God's a bad God. It's just because God, he's got confidence in you. He's got confidence in me. And he wants to let the devil know that he trusts you.
Right.
He believes that you can live and walk in the power of what Jesus has done. Amen? Okay. Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Now think about that. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because of the Spirit is truth. So you got to bear a witness in your heart. I've got to bear a witness in my heart. The words that I'm hearing today, they're true, because it's true in here. You know it. All right, so let's go back to Revelation 21. Let's look at verse 8. Let's pull two things out of that. Now notice what he says in verse 8, Revelation 21:8. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving. And so there's eight traits here, but we don't have time to look at that. I just want us to look at these first two. But the fearful and the unbelieving. This first one, this word fearful, is a Greek word that means timidity. It means that you let situations make you, I let situations make me become very timid. Now, if I realize I'm in a battle, come on, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he talks about you and I running a race. Talks about us, we're fighting the good fight of faith. Talks about us wrestling with the enemy. That means this is a close battle. This is hand to hand. This is eye to eye. In other words, you're going to be right in the devil's face. He's going to be right in your face. And so I got to be in the place where I cannot be timid. See, see in the natural, my old man, I've got a timid personality. And I'd rather just back up over here in the corner and just give ground and just stay right here. If everybody leave me alone, I'm talking about the old man. But see, you and I, we're putting on the new man. We're walking in the newness of life. And so I don't associate with my old man anymore. I don't let those feelings tell me what I can do or can't do. I let this Bible tell me what I can do or can't do. You let this Bible, amen? So here we are this morning. He said, but the fearful. So the very first thing that, we would look at this and we go, well, surely the murderers would be the first thing that would send people to the lake of fire. That's not what he said. The fearful, those who are so timid that they can't take God at his word. God, that bothers God more than anything else, because God cannot, he's not a man that he should lie, neither a man that he should repent. Come on, he's powerful. So if he tells you something, you can bank on it. All right, so let's think about this. But the fearful and the unbelieving. So I need to see, Lord, where am I being timid at in my life? What am I not allowing you to work in my life? See, each one of us, it's different. We're all in the body of Christ, but we've all got giftings. We've all got a calling on our life, and we got to find out individually. So we're not going to try to address that, because that'd be such a broad spectrum. What we're going to address is two ways that the devil will try to stop you, try to make you timid. So go with me to Matthew chapter 8. And let's look, we're going to look at Matthew 8 and Mark 4. And everybody, if you're not careful, if you just read over this, you think these two accounts are the same, but they're not. They're different. And we have to have both of them to be in that place of victory. Notice starting in verse 23, Matthew 8, 23. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, when Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And that's what you and I are doing. We're following this Bible. We're following the Lord. Verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest, a mega tempest. This word tempest is where we get our word that has to do with seismic activity. This same word, this is the only place in the New Testament you'll find this translated this way. 13 other times it's translated earthquake or earthquakes. So I want you to imagine, Jesus has got something to do with the disciples on the other side. He's going to take them over there, and the devil's going to try to keep them out of that place and that position. The devil doesn't want you to have a prevailing spirit. He doesn't want you to know that you can, that Jesus is the captain of your ship. And behold, there arose a great tempest. So it comes, in other words, this is a tsunami. This is an earthquake underneath the sea. And so this is why I want you to look at this is because the devil's going to try to stop you from the ground. He's going to try to stop you from the wind, from the sky. But when Jesus is in your ship, it doesn't matter what kind of attack he brings, you're going to prevail. All right, you're going to overcome. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Remember what we was reading in the book of Revelation 21. And so much as the ship was covered with the waves. Oh, please, this morning, I want to get it out, but I don't know how to get it out. Would you just listen by the Spirit of God and let him tell you? The waves, the sea, the judgment. See, the devil's coming. He's trying to bring judgment on these disciples who are following Jesus. He wants to take them down. See, the devil comes for you every day. And God the Father is there listening to Jesus. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. And when the devil comes and demands you up for trial, Jesus says, no. My blood has done covered that. And so the judgment, that's why in your life there's no more sea, there's no more judgment. The wrath has done been took because of what Jesus done for you and I.
Amen.
In the sea, and then so much of the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Jesus was asleep. But it don't matter if Jesus, this is in the natural. He never sleeps now.
Right.
You don't have to worry. You're not going to be defeated. The devil can't touch you anymore because the judgment is not on your life. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. Notice this, verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. That's the same word. O ye fearful. O ye timid. See, he done told them, we're going to the other side. Jesus has done told you and I, he's coming after us. He's coming after a church that is without spot and blemish. That is blood washed. We don't have to worry. Come on. Jesus will meet your needs. He'll take care of you. Ask, seek, and knock. Whatever you have need of today, he'll meet that need because he wants to bless you where you can be. I can be about our Father's business. There's people out there that's hungry. There's people out there that's lost and undone. There's people that is going to become under judgment unless you and I, as the church of the living God, stand up and say, God loves you so much. Overcomers this morning, we have the prevailing spirit because of the living God. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That word obey means that they come under Jesus as a subordinate. It'd be like a private talking to a general.
Yeah.
See how big God is? God's big. He's a lot bigger than these little imps that are walking around that are trying to get a hold of you and I and try to hurt us and hinder us. Our God's bigger. We got to see him as the mighty God. He's El Shaddai, the great God Almighty. Amen? Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Now look at this. Now this is not the same. Look at the calling of the disciples and the sequence and see how it's different in Mark chapter 4. And if your commentary says it's the same, mark it out or don't read it. Please, let the Bible talk to you by the Holy Spirit, not by man. Mark chapter 4, look, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. And at the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. We preached on this not too long ago on a Sunday night. And there arose a great, there's your word megas again, a great storm. This is not earthquake. This is a great gale. This is where the four winds come together. It's a storm that doesn't happen naturally. It happens supernaturally.
Right.
So the devil tried to kill them by things that were underneath. Now listen, this morning, the things that are in your heart, in my life, that we don't even know that's there, that when we read in Matthew chapter 8, the devil will try to destroy you and I, but now he's coming against them with the things that can be seen. See, we're overcomers by not being oblivious to the obvious. With the things that's hidden, God has to take care of them, and they're the greatest things. But these things that's out here, you and I, by the power of the Spirit of God, we can see them. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say, Master, carest not that we perish? Now notice here, it's right in reverse order. Verse 39. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said, peace be still. Wind be muzzled. Now, in other words, these spirits that were causing this wind to howl. See, everything that happens in the natural, there is a spirit behind it. And so he commanded those spirits that were stirring up these four winds to bring this ship down, he commanded them to be muzzled. So the things that are underneath that you and I don't even know about, he can stop. But the things that you've been hearing in your head this past week, the storms that's been going round and around your mind, those voices who have told you all sorts of things, Jesus has the power to stop them. Come on, this is important this morning. There's some things going on in people's lives. They just barely made it through this week. But God wants to show you and I how we don't have to struggle this week like we did last week. That we can be an overcomer. We can have that prevailing spirit, amen? So he shows us the secret. He shows us the obvious. And we overcome. We keep walking this out. We keep working it. Amen? Now, so you look at this. You study this out. And notice what he says in verse 40. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so timid? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus said that he changes not. God changes not. Malachi chapter 3, our God changes not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he done for them, he'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. So I've got to get in that place where I see that I've got to overcome. I can't be fearful. I can't be timid. I've got to start doing. Jesus said that you'll do the works that I do, and John 14:12, and greater. So that spirit that we used to shut my mouth, come on, that spirit that used to shut the church's mouth, no more. Now we speak. As the Spirit of God gives you utterance, you speak, and you say, peace be still. You have to believe it. Thank God that we can have somebody that can pray with us and help us. But guess what? Sometimes you can't get a hold of somebody. And it's just you and the Lord. Well, guess what? You and the Lord makes the majority. Okay, real quick, let's go back and read the second part of that verse 8 again in Revelation 21. I got one more thought and I'm going to let you go. I want you to get this in your heart. I want to get it in my heart so powerfully. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving, he said that those things are going to have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. But the fearful and the unbelieving. This here means to be, not just to be unbelieving, but it means to be actively disbelieving. In other words, the devil gets us in a place where the truth is right before our eyes. And we say, I'm not going to believe it.
Amen.
Don and I, we was in a Bible study one night years ago, and this person said, well, I don't believe that. And of course, we'd been going a different direction, and they said that, so that was coming right back at me. But it wasn't me, because I was teaching the Bible. So you're not going to hurt me, but you're going to hurt the one that has something for you. They say, I don't believe that. I don't know if they believe it to this day or not, but you and I, we can't be actively disbelieving. We got to ask the Lord, Lord, why do I keep running into the wall in this area of my life?
Yeah.
Why does the ship keep sinking? Come on, it's not meant to, you're not meant to go through trials and struggles every day. Right. If you're going through something every day, something's wrong.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be good with the struggle. So go with me to John, just a couple of verses. Go with me to John chapter 20. Let's look at Thomas. You know, Jesus has done been to the cross, and he's been to hell and done all these things, and he come and visit the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. John chapter 20, verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, remember his name means twin. And see, that's the way you and I are. If we're not careful, we go between flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit, up and down, in and out, happy and sad, mad and glad, victorious and defeated. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him. See, keep talking, Brother Donnie. They may not hear the first time, but keep talking. Keep sowing that seed. Keep telling people the truth, because you give an opportunity for Jesus to show up. Remember what the Bible says? One of us will sow. Come on, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, somebody will water, but it's God who gives the increase. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. I'm going to be actively unbelieving. Now see, I don't think you lie. So if you tell me something, I'm going to try my best to believe it. I may not understand it, but I'm going to believe it. Because if I will believe it, then God will help me to understand it. Now, this is important. Talking about having peace in our lives, peace in our homes. This is the key of overcoming to where we can do that. Verse 26, this is how good Jesus is. And after 8 days, now remember we talk about the number 8 in Bible numerics, you know, it means new beginnings, new creature. A new creation. Here's an opportunity. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Come on, he's there this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now, can you imagine? They're just there and Jesus, you know, he isn't of the same matter anymore. So he just walks right through the wall. And right there, he's right there in front of their face. And he says the very same thing he's been saying his whole ministry, peace, peace. Jesus is the Prince of. So if we don't have peace, then something needs to be corrected, right? Needs to be adjusted. I can have peace when all the whole world's falling apart. Amen. You can have peace when the whole world's falling apart. Verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. Come on, don't be in that place where you're actively unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So, the Bible, Jesus says in Mark chapter 11 that you and I, that we have what we. So he said he had to what? He had to touch Jesus to believe it. So you and I, we need to get to that point where we say, Lord, okay, help me to move past this limitation where I've got to see you in the natural. I've got to feel you in the natural, because your vision in the natural can be deceptive. Have you been driving down the road and you, out of the corner of your eye, you think you see a deer? And you stop and you thought, how in the world did I think that was a deer? Whatever it might be. You know, you've got a glimpse of something and you just knew it was something or somebody, and it was so crazy. There was a black trash bag on the other side of Keep Levi there on the fence, and it was there for several weeks. And when you come around that curve there and looked at it just for a second, every time you saw it, you thought it was a black wolf. It just looked like, you know what I mean? If you didn't know, but after you looked at it again, you saw what it was. What am I talking about? I'm talking about don't depend on things of the natural. Your overcoming victory, your prevailing victory is this Holy Spirit in your spirit. We won't take time because we don't have time, but make a note of Luke chapter 12 and look at verses 45 and 46 and look at the overcoming servant of the last days is the one, the way that you can tell that you're not disbelieving is that you do what Jesus asked you to do. Just do what Jesus asked you to do. He's got great things for you. Amen. If I can find it, I want to read you something in closing. Let's look at one thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Here's the Apostle Paul. He knows about prevailing faith, about overcoming. He says, fight the good fight of, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession, a good confession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. We want to fight with each other. We want to fight fear. We want to fight spirits. We want to fight all these things, but we'll never have success unless we do it the Bible way.
Amen.
So fight the good fight of faith. In closing, look, let's see how Paul done it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was going to heaven. He had perfect peace. He had victory. They weren't taking his life. He followed an example of Jesus, and he was laying his life down. They marched him out from Marmar prison. They marched him down that road, and they put him in that road that ultimately became the way of salvation of the plan of Jesus from connecting the world times, the ages of that point of time in history, and they cut his head off. And his head rolled down that, but they did not get the victory over him. He got the victory over them. Come on, you're a victorious people. Look what he says, verse 7. I have fought a good, and his fight was with faith. I fought a good fight of faith. I have finished my course. Come on, if you know what God called you to do, and you know where you're at, and you know where you're going, you're overcomers.
Amen.
You have a prevailing spirit. Look what he said in closing. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. So that's what you and I want to do. We got to hold on. We got to feed our faith and hold on to it where we can be in that place of overcoming, that place of knowing who we are because of Jesus and by Jesus. Amen. Brother Green wanted me to read this to you. So I'm going to do that in closing and then we'll have prayer. Power in prayer is what he entitled this. He said the deepest level of worship is praying God through the pain. That's what we've been talking about this morning, right? Because we all have pain, but we have the faith to pray. Thanking Him through the trials and trusting Him when I'm tempted. Tempted to lose hope and loving Him when He seems distant. Well, that's what we've been talking about. This is how we keep an overcoming spirit. He said, Brother Green wrote this down, at my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comforter. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for lining things up in our life that we can walk in that place of asking, seeking, knocking, that we can be in that place where we see that we have an overcoming spirit, the Holy Spirit, to show us this, to try to test the spirits that are lying to us of this world, and that greater one, that greater Holy Spirit inside of us, to point us toward this word, that word that brings faith, that word that releases faith to be overcoming like you promised there in 1 John chapter 4. Lord, let it be. Let us hear this morning. Let us yield to you. Let us trust you. Let us come to a new place of victory and success like never before. Lord, if we're not in that place of closeness with you, would you bring your hand down to us? Would you draw us right now with your spirit? Would you open up the eyes of our spirit, the ears of our heart, to be able to hear what you're saying to us? You said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jeremiah said, saving us, we shall be saved. Healing us, we shall be healed. Let that saving drawing unction anointing, let that healing drawing in, unction anointing come in our lives this morning. Let us accept it and receive it and bring you glory in it. We'll be quick to praise you for it. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar? Just lay your heart there and just talk to the Lord this morning. Let him remind you who you are and what he's done in your life. And if we can pray with you, if we can build you up and encourage you by agreeing with you, agreeing with what the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart, we would love to do that. God loves you so much. Greater things are coming because you and I, we have the hope of the eternity. It's going to be glorious. And it will not be complete unless you and I are there and we bring other people with us. Guess what? We're going to do it by his great grace. Amen. Hallelujah.